Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarkilas Filipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP podcast. Stan C, Romaran, and Raph Camus together again. And, well, we have quite a bit to talk about this week, even though we don't have a guest.
Well, that's not a guest. People didn't want to go on, and people couldn't go on.
For reasons of their own.
Yeah, for reasons.
Well, yeah, you know, that's logistics for you. This shit does happen. So, you're stuck with the three of us for this week. But we're going to promise to make it worth your while.
Because so much.
For starters, there's so a lot going happened. On in the SGP podcast front.
The yes! reason why we're recording today on a Wednesday night, because for those of you who might not be aware, is we got off the phone with some very important people.
Decision makers.
Very important businessmen.
Influential people of influence.
Earlier today.
Yeah.
And we can tell you right now, more details should be in the works in the future, in the near future, that there are big things happening.
Big things!
For the SGP podcast.
You have to level this with the expectation, or with our expectation at least. Now, when we started this project, Ro and I, we had no expectations. We just wanted to shout into a void and basically rant about wrestling every week.
Yeah.
And the void has spoken back.
Well, it's more like opportunities opened up.
Oh, the void has spoken back.
The void has spoken back.
Fine. So,
that is the philosophical.
Yeah. So, no. Basically, to give you a hint of what might be on the horizon, or what will be on the is on the horizon, if you will, the powers that be, or some powers that be, have heard things that you have been saying. So, if you are one of the people who wished for a certain thing when it comes to Stan and myself, not necessarily Camus.
Actually,
it didn't necessarily involve me, but at this point,
you will be involved as well. So, if you were one of those people, then your wish shall soon be granted.
Yes, I think we should leave it at that, so we don't blow our load too early.
But if we're talking about it at the start of the show, do know this is happening.
Yes. We pretty much established that.
Because we talk about things at the end of the show.
Yeah. Okay. He has a point. Yes,
fine.
Let's
talk really quickly about WWE 2K18. The game's set to be released in about 3 weeks. I'm actually working on a nice little listicle to help hype up the game on Smart Henry.
I have to ask, are you getting an advanced copy?
I'm not sure about the advanced copy, but I am getting a review copy, which I'll...
May or may not be advanced. 4 days early.
Yeah, it may or may not be advanced. Because last year, the copy came in like 2 weeks after the release.
But it's still something.
Yeah, of course, it's still something. I'm not complaining. It's just that last time, it was delayed. So, like, all of you fuckers got your copies way before I did.
I wasn't bumili.
Well, I did have to review it. So for this year, we all know that it's the biggest roster to date. Same old. But the TVC is actually a bit of note. Because
the new one.
Snoop Dogg did the rap.
It actually premiered...
Raw.
No Mercy. Yeah, just when he thought that they would not have any more commercials after they burned down a physical Hall of Fame building.
And
in
then,
comes a commercial with Snoop Dogg with a custom-made rap just for the game.
Yeah. So, without
featuring Snoop Dogg's face.
Yes.
At all.
So you could tell them when it was Snoop Dogg, or if you were more cynical, a Snoop Dogg impersonator.
Yeah, I thought it was a paid Snoop Dogg impersonator because the rap was kind of whack.
Yeah,
It grows on you.
It grows on you, but it's kind of whack. It is whack.
I think the biggest issue here is that they disparage Jack Gallagher so much.
Sienna did. But he does mention gender, which is something.
But Jinder's the champion. Yeah. Jack Gallagher was literally treated as a jabroni.
Oh. There was someone else that mentioned Chapuera din niya. I forgot who.
Let's watch it back after this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Sasha got a name drop.
No, she did.
She has to. She's the cousin.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was looking out for that. Earlier on the rewatch, I think I missed it.
Yeah, she had her own name drop.
So there's a lot of hype into this year's game more than in previous years. Yeah. And from the stuff that they've released so far to the press, I'm actually very excited about My Career Mode just because they're going in a very different direction. So instead of it being more of
here's a career, bahala ka na, you do what you want. They're going to lay out two paths for you. Mm-hmm. And it's a choose your own adventure type of deal. Mm-hmm. Which is something that I feel actually worked when Here Comes the Pain was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because so, it did have this choose your own adventure and bahala ka na mix type of feel as a mm-hmm. my career mm-hmm. Game, diba? So this year, they're going to make you choose between being a company man, which is the kiss-ass heel who always works for the GM, or I forgot what the babyface arc is called, but that one is you go against the trend and you forge your own path towards the main event of WrestleMania. Mm. So that should be fun, because off the top of my head, I'm thinking of going through the heel route just because it seems more fun.
I just hope that this year they sort of iron out a lot of the kinks that last year felt repetitive after a while.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Na parang you're just like match after match after match, wala na.
And even yung pag-construct ng show, like when you had to put together the segments, which again was fun at the start, but then you realize that if you have to slog through the entire show na 10 segments, the promo match, it becomes so redundant.
Oh.
I'm also excited for the fact na this year you can finally have as many as 8 players at the same time.
Masaya na yung Christmas party.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Everyone can bring their own
controllers. If you actually have 8 controllers to go around.
How many do you have?
I got 2.
I have one. I know Darley has 2 or 3. Mm. That's 6.
And then two more.
I'm sure there's 2 more.
No, Mikey. If Mikey comes, that's a 7.
George probably should have one.
Yeah, Lynch should have one.
But yeah, mukhang masaya naman.
Yeah, you can have a 4-on-4 Survivor Series match now.
So, Smart Henry, mm-hmm. crew, you know what's up. Balay Camus is open.
Oh, okay.
Oh, alam na.
There's the official invitation. All right.
Wow, we're like 2 months, 3 months early.
It can never be too early. Like I've been saying in chats, by November or December, kung nagtawag ka by then, everyone's booked already. You might as well book things as early as now.
Yeah.
Christmas has begun in the Philippines, after all, as JMC will tell you.
I heard my first JMC yesterday.
First, palang?
Yeah.
Palang?
Yeah.
God.
Can you believe that? I've been going to malls for the past few weeks and I haven't heard it.
Do you not ride in cars with your parents?
No.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I do not.
Like, ever?
Not lately.
So you got to avoid him for 26 days. I only got to avoid him for like...
Happy for you.
I only got to avoid him for like 1.
I heard it radio, on the day. On the day, sadly.
Yeah. Speaking of the radio, the show finally has a name. It's called The Head Start.
The Head Start. That's a good name.
Yeah, thank you.
Really good name.
Thank you. My mom came up with it.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Tita.
So I was just shooting the breeze with my mom last Sunday, and I was like, oh, you know what? We're thinking of calling it The Jump Start. And then C. Sarge, the station manager, was like, I think it's taken now, so you have to come up with a different name. And my mom, out of nowhere, goes, how about Head Start? Mm. And I'm like, hey, not bad. So I text Sarge, and he goes, okay, let me ask the other jocks. And then the other jocks get back to him. They're like, all right, Head Start is a go. And I'm like, hey,
we have a name on our
hands. Simple, and, you know, it kind of fits the branding of the station.
Yeah.
The pre-morning show.
Right, right. So now I'm actually thinking of incorporating a New Day soundbite, just because it's a new day. Yes, it is.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
It literally is, right? So like that could be how we open the show. Big Eagle, it's a new day. Yes, it is. And then we ad-lib over the New Day theme.
Mm.
So that's something I'm going to pitch.
Yeah.
I actually plan to pitch that within the next week or two. So there.
Nice.
So do catch that on Wave 89.1, 5 to 7 a.m. weekdays. All right.
7 a.m.
Yeah, one day we will be able to catch it.
One day.
Simbang Gabi days.
Yeah, we will be able to catch that.
Yeah, when you do.
Or maybe when you go like overnight on an overnight trip, right?
During, you know, the weekdays or some shit.
Or you have to drive to the airport that's on the hour, things like that.
Why the fuck not? Anyway, we actually have quite the list here. It's not full, it's not exactly fat either, but there are some things we have to flesh out. So let's start off with the biggest item on our list, and that is the fact that Enzo Amore is your WWE Cruiserweight Champion.
Yeah. As the official 205 Live reviewer on here, I guess I have to say something. At first, I wasn't sure. Actually, no, I was kind of sure, but I didn't know if they were going to go that way until now. So my theory was the entire time Enzo was challenging, or the entire first month that Enzo was in 205 Live, they were trying to get people to hate him by having him be a dick, a total dick to everyone he considers his friend on the show.
So like you had Cedric Alexander, and Grand Metalik.
Most of the faces. At first they were all buddy-buddy with him. They were all chummy. They thought that he was going to be a good partner and stuff like that. Turns out, after stealing everything, turns out that he's going to be a dick after all. So there you go. To be fair, and I will give WWE all the credit for this. I don't know who thought of it, if they planned it the entire time, if Enzo was
pitched
really,
it.
Yeah. What they set out to do, they accomplished top to bottom.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're, again, we're recording this Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. SmackDown and 205 Live have aired. And
we
I think at this point
them.
We can say that Neville and Enzo did a double turn over this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Neville isn't fully 100% babyface because he still has to grow out of the king stuff.
The Mad King stuff.
Yeah, the
now.
Mad King stuff. I'm sure he's gonna gravitate toward a more generic babyface role. It kind of seems that way right now because I don't know how you're gonna wing it until he obviously can't be the same old happy-go-lucky babyface.
Right, but I'd like to retain some of the characteristics,
sure.
Like the way he speaks.
Uh-oh.
I think that's pretty good.
Mm. Yeah.
And even his moveset right now, I think, is much better than his old moveset.
Of course.
Yeah, he learned to work slow. It actually goes a long way into making him seem like a legit wrestler, not just a cruiserweight competitor, even.
Not just a spot monkey at this rate.
It means parang if people in the cruiserweight division are allowed to quote unquote graduate, then Neville will be the very best candidate for graduation at this point. But I could now, or a lot of people could now, believably see him go back to competing in, the Intercontinental Championship picture, stuff like that.
Graduate from the Purple Ropes.
Yeah, it not just because he also came from that world before 205 Live happened, but also because he pretty much successfully reinvented himself down there.
Yeah. So he goes down, changes the division, goes back up, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Pretty much what Tyson Kidd did, diba? And Zack Ryder for a while.
On NXT. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Pero here you don't have. He didn't have to go back to developmental.
Yeah.
He transformed before our eyes,
mm.
which is ideally the best situation you could ever hope for.
How long has it been since he's been down on 205?
Almost a year.
Almost. No, not even
not
almost.
Not even almost.
More October or November nangyari, when he returned and he turned heel.
No, he kind of reappeared in January. So
yeah,
like December, January.
No.
Yes.
September he was here. He competed here, remember? September 9th. Live event.
Which...
But he wasn't a heel.
He wasn't a heel yet. Right. He surfaced at Night of Champions, which was late September.
That was when he turned heel on the
cruiserweight division. I think it was Rich Swann that he turned heel against or somebody. So
still cool.
Yeah, we have to talk about the characters, of course, like how Enzo has transformed himself as a heel and how people are reacting. People are talking about this.
Yeah,
people are making a big deal out of 205 Live, which I think means that WWE succeeded in their goal of making 205 Live relevant.
Yeah, it kind of goes to show you that. You do have to have a little faith when it comes to these weird moves that you don't know what's happening yet. Most of the time, yes, WWE has proven that they kind of bungle all of these things. But when they do have their mind set on something, when you do actually have the political will to change these things or to bring out something good that we can get behind, turns out they can actually pull it off.
Yeah.
I was telling Ro this right before we went on the air. Now, Enzo Amore is probably the first heel I'm legitimately pissed off at whenever he appears on my screen. The first first heel of his kind, probably in the last 10 years.
Mm. Actually, I actually agree with you that he is someone that they finally got, got people to turn on just because they ended up embracing his hateability.
Yeah. Well... I guess part of it is also tied to the fact that he's got such a detestable backstage persona based on what comes out from the dirt sheets and from people he's
people
interacted with.
People on social media.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a never-ending black hole for him right now.
Although it's kind of sad when you think about it. It turns out that someone can only really get heel reactions as a heel if they're actually really heels in real life. Roman Reigns isn't exactly a heel in real life.
But he does give off these quotes where he comes off like such a
Sure,
dick.
Sure. No, he's not obviously as detestable as Enzo.
Yeah, he says
what
feminine.
I'm saying is, you can look at a whole bunch of heels on screen, and if you know for a fact that they're not actually terrible people backstage, like Kevin Owens
who's a family man.
Yeah, who's a
family
man.
Actually has things going for him.
Yeah, who doesn't actually go to great lengths to hide this on social media. Although he does do some heel work, especially Rusev as well. It's hard then to boo it. I mean, it's hard to get behind the portrayal on screen if if we know this much about them.
In fact, if you get attached to them because you know this about their real lives, then you end up applauding them for doing their best work as a hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is how I became a Kevin Owens fan.
When you think about it, Enzo being a heel just because he's a real douchebag, he's a real dirtbag. Parang, it kind of is like wrestling finally going full circle.
Now we've gone super meta.
No. People, the business has always wanted people to believe that this guy's bad, this guy's good, despite other things.
Yeah.
So now, you actually do need to be bad in order to be bad. Parang, now...
You have to be bad to be the bad guy.
It's basically art imitating life.
Yeah, no. Wrestling has finally caught up with itself, with what it wanted to do after how many years? After 100 years, I guess.
Yes, okay. Na parang, it's gotten to the point that you don't live the gimmick.
This is what wrestling wanted in the first place.
Now, you don't just live the gimmick. Your gimmick reflects who you really are.
Right. Another example on the opposite pole is Sami Zayn.
Who will never turn heel.
Probably.
Ever.
I don't know. If we go by the things that happened this week on SmackDown.
Probably not.
Edge.
It's possible.
It's possible, but... The thing is, the guy's a freaking humanitarian.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
His advocacies for Syria alone make him a legitimate real-life baby.
Holy shit, he raised so much money for a hospital in Syria.
More than he meant to.
More than...
The fact that he's the only one doing this shit.
Yeah. He's pulling an international agenda, not necessarily to the forefront of wrestling, but... It's part of the conversation.
And he's using his platform.
Uh-huh. And he's using his platform responsibly... How the hell can you hate this guy?
You got like Cena on one hand doing Make-A-Wish. Make-A-Wish.
Just to go off a quick tangent, right? People like Sami Zayn and people like LeBron James and Greg Popovich are the best counter-arguments to all you assholes who say, do not politicize sports. Keep my politics out of sports. You look at these people and I will debunk your argument, right?
But guys, isn't that in?
Yes,
pero
fine.
Fuck son. Yeah, I'm joking.
Why are you apologizing to me?
What I'm trying to say when I went on this little tangent point is the fact that sports entertainment, being a public figure, these are platforms. And we applaud these people for being real-life baby faces because they use their clout, they use their influence, and their platform to effect positive change. Mm. And it's way better than certain leaders are actually doing when they sow division or seeds of division.
16.
And 45.
45.
Let's go back to Sami and to Enzo.
Yeah.
I was going to say, now, Sami, like, as the Sami fan in the room, the biggest one.
Sure.
In the country, maybe. He's one of those guys that...
Someone will argue with you.
Yeah.
Sino?
That guy.
I know, that guy.
Yung nagsabi na sayang.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, let's talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
That dude. No, but it's legit. He has made positive impact for people who needed it. And at the end of the day, he's on the opposite end of the pole.
Right.
And then you have guys like John Cena who are closer to maybe far right. If the good guys are on the... No, pardon.
We don't Cena?
Yeah, Cena.
We don't know that. I don't know what his politics are.
No. If Sammy's over here on the far right, Enzo is on the far left as the negative. Where do you put guys like Cena, Reigns?
In the center. They're centrist.
For this sort of, if we're gonna plot it on a line,
does it matter?
Sort of. Since we're having the conversation,
they're centrist. Mm. They're center leaning left.
What the?
For me, it doesn't really matter because, for one, Cena and Reigns aren't the subject of the conversation right now.
Yeah.
What we're really talking about is the effect of capitalizing on this heat that Enzo Amore has backstage and this negative reputation he's developed among fans based on what's come out on social media.
Yeah, I don't know who thought of this, but it's genius. Because I don't think anyone has ever leveraged this backstage heat, this level of backstage heat and parlayed it into an on-screen character. Yeah, exactly.
Into storyline with an entire division.
Yeah.
So let's backtrack the last few weeks before No Mercy. Mm. Enzo gets wrecked week after week, both physically and on the mic. Guys like Miz, guys like Braun Strowman, guys like Neville, and they really just bring him
down. They ramp it up.
No. They put him in his place.
Yeah.
They literally made him look like a joke contender.
Such a joke contender, and heading into No Mercy, anyone with a rational brain probably would argue against the idea that Enzo's probably going to win. And that's why when Enzo won, especially in the fashion that he did, there was a lot of outrage. Like, I was tweeting, what the fuck is this shit?
Yep.
I had a
wrestling
feeling,
Twitter exploded.
Yeah, I was pretty upset too, but I had a feeling they would try to do that, something like that. Just because Yunya, as Enzo mentioned, he made the show relevant. As much as I hate to say it, he did. Because no matter how good everyone else has been busting their ass down in 205 Live,
they don't have the eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly. They're just not the most. They don't have the most star power.
There's
yeah.
a reason why Enzo Amore's hated by Cedric Alexander is he hides his charisma, and that's because Cedric Alexander isn't as big of a star as Enzo.
Yeah.
But let's pull it back just a little bit. I was trying to think of a point and I forgot
lost,
it. Right?
Yeah, it. Yeah.
See, this is what happens when you play it. Is this we? I think we've covered the question. Is this the right move?
It is.
Right? It is the right move.
It is the right move, not because it was the move they did, but because they supported it with the things they needed to do.
Okay, so let's go off of that and look at the things Enzo did on the way to No Mercy. He kept on screwing his friends over. He kept on cheating.
Yeah.
And then when he beat Neville, he kicked Neville in the balls blatantly. Everybody but the referee saw it. Right? Compare and contrast that to Eddie Guerrero, who was such a blatant cheater as well. I know the answer to this question, but for the sake of discussion, why is it okay to be endeared towards Eddie, and yet we vilify Enzo so much?
Because, for one thing, he backed it up. He was a good wrestler. He just decided...
He being Eddie.
Yeah. But he was never treated as a joke. He made the cheating antics a joke.
Comical.
But you knew that he was a good wrestler.
Yeah.
And he was outright about his cheating. Yeah.
Is Enzo not outright about it now?
No. He's still playing the whole "I'm still the realest guy in the room." Yeah. I got catchphrases for days.
He literally said that he did it to survive. But Eddie doesn't do that.
Yeah,
Eddie doesn't say that.
Never. Eddie.
It's just another trick up his sleeve.
Oh, apparently Eddie, for all his chicanery, would still be. I will still wrestle you 90% of the match, but then I see this opening.
And he tells you he's gonna do that.
And he's still gonna tell you, "I'm still gonna cheat to win." And you see him make good on that promise. You're like, I can respect that.
Yeah.
Actually, if you break it down with that nuance,
yeah.
Let me refer to something Chris Jericho wrote in one of his earlier books. I think it was either the first or the second.
Sure.
Okay.
He says, an effective babyface is someone who makes good on when he calls his shot.
So
when you say you're gonna do something and you do it, that's a babyface move. Whereas if you're a heel,
you say one thing, do something else.
Exactly. So I guess in that way, I can kind of connect the dots and come to the conclusion that Eddie is a babyface despite being a cheater.
Yeah.
Right? I think this goes back to what you said in private. Now, Eddie's mantra was, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah.
He told everyone that.
Yeah, it was in the song.
Yeah.
Right.
It was in the song.
Yeah. Whereas Enzo is a douchebag because it's so blatant, and yet he tries to pretend that he earned it.
Yun.
Na parang, it's like when they say that you deserve what you got, and they're talking about the beatdowns and not the championship, you know that they've turned on you.
Yeah. And the way that he reacted to it was partly delusional and partly nang to-troll siya.
Yeah. Which is very much his
that
MO.
It's a heel playbook, yeah.
It's heel playbook, it's Enzo's MO, and at the end of the day, you don't have to see him as anything more than just, I'm trying hard to still kind of stay cool, but at the end of the day, fuck all y'all. Mm. Diba?
Yeah, that was pretty much what he meant to say during his promo on 205 Live. Speaking of 205 Live, I love how a lot of the guys have been maximized, especially over the last 48 hours.
SmackDown booking!
Arya Daivari, to be specific, was booked very well this week.
Mm.
Oh!
So you saw at the end of Raw how all of the cruiserweights just ganged up on Enzo and they just beat him up, brutalized him.
And if you haven't seen it yet, please do, just to see Braun Strowman beat the ever-living shit out of him. Because it is satisfying.
And then pass him on to the cruiserweights.
It is satisfying, sir!
Right. So that happens. Arya Daivari clearly was a part of it. And then 205 Live comes. Biglang kabig si Arya.
Ay, hintay.
And he starts sucking up to Enzo and says, "Now let me propose an alliance. Ako na peer pressure lang ako." That was Neville's plan all along, man. Oh, nakisama lang ako eh.
Mob mentality lang, putya.
you hear that shit a lot in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Or you hear it in John Paul Solano.
Oh!
Yep, yep.
Oh!
Arya Daivari is pretty much like John Paul Solano at this point when he says, "Now you know what? Wow. Oh, it's peer pressure. It wasn't
really,
me."
We're really comparing a hazing death to.
I was gonna say.
Well, you know how I feel about fraternities and violence.
Yeah, but
I'm trying to be woke here, guys.
Yeah, I know.
But stay woke, we're but
comparing a hazing
stay
death.
Stay woke, with, but
to a TV angle and a beatdown. I think it's kind of too soon.
Fine.
I mean, they just buried the guy.
Fine.
Yeah, they just buried.
They just buried the guy.
All right,
but anyway.
So where were we? Arya Daivari.
Arya Daivari. All
right. So Arya Daivari, who has been what on nasalay layan siya ng 205 Live Circle of Relevance, and then now he finds himself eking
inserted,
out a position.
Yeah, inserted into that conversation.
Right, and then you have to applaud 205 Live for really just taking the ball and running all the way with whatever they've stumbled onto here with Enzo.
And it's not just, I mean, they've stumbled on people paying attention again, but it's the next month or so that will tell, diba? Yeah. Mm. Na parang right now where 205 as a show is in a good place. They just closed out Raw.
Mm.
They had
for the first time
they had a very well rounded out episode of 205 Live. They've done a lot of, you know, it's the soft reset that we sort of were talking about a couple of months ago. And it's happening, we're seeing it, but time will tell, diba? If we're gonna get what we want.
Siguro, the only concern I have is, how much heat does Enzo really have backstage? I guess money talks, and that Vince probably saw an opportunity to turn shit into gold, I suppose, by having Enzo, despite, you know, all the best interest, despite being a shit move, I suppose, backstage, and the fact that you're kind of rewarding people
for just, incompetence.
No, not for incompetence. It's not incompetence so much as it is, I don't know, just
being a dirtbag.
Yeah, being a dirtbag, being a non-self-aware dirtbag. And you gotta wonder how long is this gonna last, because can Enzo even last in his position without really pissing someone else off? Because for sure, mas lalaki ulo niya.
Plus the fact now, when you look at his ring work, it's not like he's the best worker in the room.
It's not like he even sold that backstage beatdown segment as well as he could.
I suppose that the best move for now, the best next step, is you get as much as you can from Enzo within this short span of time, and then you use it to bring up a new face, not just Neville, because you don't need to bring Neville up any further. He's already the best they have.
Yeah.
But someone who needs the best boost, like a Cedric, or, oh, well, not Cedric, because he's feuding with Kendrick and Gallagher, but
like maybe a Talik.
Mustafa Ali. Yeah, pretty much.
The guys who have are on the edges, on the fringes of this division.
Right. So, there. We spent almost 20 minutes just talking about the Cruiserweights, which I think is the most time we've spent talking about the Cruiserweights.
Since the Classic.
Yeah, since the Classic. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, because now they're, you know, if we give them, all they really need right now is time. And time will tell. The battle proof is in the pudding. It should be fun. This ride should be fun.
We're gonna. You want to review the rest of No Mercy right now, since we're talking about Raw and how everything went down. So let's
chronological.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
We started with the Intercontinental Championship match. It was Jason Jordan against The Miz. I think Jordan was impressive.
Yes.
I like the match enough to say nah, I had fun watching Jason Jordan. It's not like I didn't have fun watching him against John Cena and against Roman Reigns. It's just that this was a match where there were stakes. There were concrete stakes, and I thought, Jason Jordan delivered.
Oh. Yeah. Parang he's one of those guys that somewhere down the line, when he wins his solo gold, I think he could be one of those Intercontinental champions that you're like, I respect that. He deserved it. Let's have him run with it till Mania, and then see where it goes.
You know, like Shelton in 2004.
I'm gonna give the credit to Miz here, because you don't make a good match without without the help of the other guy.
Mm-mm.
And Miz, as we all know, has been the low-key workhorse of the past year, over the past
year. And a half.
Year and a half, sure. And without Miz's input, I would suppose, and contributions...
From the
Jason
Mr.
Jordan would not... No, yeah, yeah. Jason Jordan would not even have that great of a match.
Oh.
But I'm not... I don't know.
It's not for the
lack matches of his... with Cena and Reigns were good, but they weren't this good.
Yeah. Now, this elevates him as serious contender, serious guy in that mid-card.
Mm.
And God knows that it's always nice to have another good hand in the Raw mid-card.
Mm. Do you want to touch on the Max Landis thread on Twitter from yesterday? How
No.
It was
nah,
a very meta interpretation of
the
Miz Miz's backstory, right?
And for if you haven't read it, please do time.
Check it out. It's pretty interesting, even though
it's not as accurate
as we'd all like to believe it is.
Yeah, but what's sad to me is that Reigns obviously is not turning heel. Did not turn heel again.
Will not turn heel
so
soon.
So what they did with Enzo, they obviously aren't prepared to do with Reigns. And even though it's the easiest way to get people to cheer for him. I don't know.
Sorry, that wasn't a fart. That was Camus moving his chair because he's being noisy. All right, next match on the card. I forgot what went up next. What went up next?
Finn versus Bray.
Oh, yeah, there.
Finn versus Bray with Finn's new gear.
The gray gear.
That's kind of weird. It was weird to see because I'm not used to seeing Finn in anything other than black.
Time
for a change.
Yeah, it's time for a change. It's good to reestablish the man.
Mm.
And, you know, he does, if you see some of his older juniors gear from NJPW, this isn't too off-brand for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
What do you think about Goldust turning heel again? I was kind of upset by it. Because you turn him face for like 2 weeks, and then you turn him heel again. So, like, where is this going now? Because Finn apparently isn't done with Bray, and yet Goldust is now going after Finn.
Starcade? When's Starcade?
November pa.
November. Okay.
And at the same time, Finn declared his intentions to go after the Universal Championship.
Yeah. Well...
So, medyo bagulo siya for me.
I think where this is going is interim feud lang muna. Interim feud lang muna for now, for all the guys involved.
Hindi ba napaka-mema nung turns ni Goldust?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like I feel like
they have no one else to turn right now that Big Show's getting surgery.
So is Goldust officially in the role of veteran who you can turn anytime when it's convenient?
Malay mo.
I think they forgot kasi that he feuded with R-Truth right before they brought him back for the Bray feud.
Yeah.
So it is actually very stupid.
But
very dumb.
Moving on, tag team championship match. 2/3 of the Shield retained against Cesaro.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, great.
Love the match.
Great
Love the match, and mad respect to Cesaro for soldiering on after his two front teeth got impacted on steel posts.
Jesus.
Can we just say that he did that to himself?
Yes.
He did that to himself.
That is self-inflicted, guys.
So, ginusto niya yun?
Oh. He, yeah.
Yeah. No, hindi naman ginusto niya, but he only has himself to blame.
Yeah.
All right, it's not like anyone wants their teeth jammed up their face.
Speaking of the teeth getting jammed up, I talked to my best friend Ryan, who had a similar experience when we were in high school. So he says that once your teeth get jammed up, there is no choice but to extract them.
Yeah.
You can't pull them back out and expect them to be in the same position because the teeth will have died by then.
Mm.
So
mangingitim siya, it will rot, and it's just not good for health. So the way that this is going to get fixed is, you saw Cesaro with lip stitches this week on Raw, right? So the way you fix this, and I'm sorry if you're eating right now as you're listening, it's going to be quite graphic for the next minute or so you might want to just skip through. So they extract your teeth. Right?
So far, so good.
So it's going to be bloody, root canal, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can either get a denture, which is kind of weird, and from my friend's experience, nakaka insecure siya kasi like when you have to take the denture out, or you can have an implant.
Oh,
okay.
The wrestlers usually get an implant.
Yeah.
So yun lang. Just looking at that picture with Cesaro, even mustering up a smile, even at, when his teeth got impacted 3 to 4 millimeters up his gums, that was just hard to watch. It was hard to look at. It was hard to tweet.
But yeah,
I had to tweet it.
It was one of those. why isn't the screen going black and white? Why isn't the screen going black and white?
I'm pretty sure the screen go black and white on the network.
It won't go black and white on a live broadcast. Probably sa
replay.
Yeah, on the replay.
But then it was one of those times you're like, oh, I wish it was in black and white.
I'm not sure when it will be appropriate to make that chipmunks joke again.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, no one else did, only I did. So like, oh, I'm not sure if it was inappropriate.
No, no, man. Bad taste, but not inappropriate.
Bad taste on many levels.
Yep.
All right. At this point, who's next in line? Because the Hardy Boys aren't in contention, obviously, with Jeff Hardy
being injured.
At this point, you're going to have to go with the Good Brothers.
Yeah. Hmm. The club needs to happen. Needs to happen.
I want it to happen.
I mean, they were... Okay, sorry. Just to... I know we're going to talk about it later, but the Bullet Club was actually asking for... When they tried to invade Raw?
Yeah, let's talk about that now.
Okay, since it's a good time. One of the first things that they wanted was Cody Rhodes' last name back. Mm. But at the same time, they said, give us the Good Brothers and Finn. Just have them come out. Just have them come out, please. We want to see together. Our friends. Yeah. So those are part of their demands. Uh-huh. And then it's just like, where is this going?
I need you to explain something to me. Because one of the tweets that came out was something about how Hangman Page was like kidnapped by the WWE or something. What does that mean?
That was bullshit. Na parang
they ran an angle on Being the Elite where he was kidnapped and then the kidnappers made him watch WWE against his will.
It's meta. Hmm. Okay. It's meta. It's not really storyline. They probably stole it from Trian De La Torre. You know, I'm just saying, we did it first.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, na parang they had a bullshit angle that Paige needed to go away for a while.
Samba.
I don't know. Na parang he had to do stuff. He had to do
where?
Stuff.
From where?
In from GPW? Home, maybe. No, because it was it's an ROH angle.
Oh, yeah.
It was an ROH angle because they won the 6-man tags.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think he had commitments. Family commitments or something like that. He had to go away. They wrote him off like that. And then he comes back and then he's bound. Like, this was at Death Before Dishonored. Comes back, he's bound. And he's like, oh no, they tied me up. And then they explain it on the Elite, on Being the Elite, that's how it went down.
So who was there? Was it Sacramento? In Sacramento?
They were in... Where was Raw this week? Sacramento.
I guess. California. Wherever they were. So I know Cody and Brandy Rhodes were there.
Cody,
Young Bucks.
Cody, Brandy, the Bucks, Marty Skrull, Paige, and that's about it. Mm. It's basically ROH. No, Kenny's still in Japan.
Okay.
Kenny's one of those guys that doesn't really fly back on the regular kasi.
Alright.
That's his home base for him is in Tokyo.
Okay, so for someone who doesn't watch ROH or New Japan all that much, why is this important? Why was it such a big deal that they were trying to invade Raw, and I say this with air quotes, and yet nothing happened?
Yeah, because the thing is, they... I don't know why, but stateside, ever since this Hot Topic deal has come through, merch sales are through the roof. And it feels like the Bullet Club is relevant again. When in reality, they're trying. Like, outside of Kenny Omega and Cody a bit.
And the Young Bucks.
And the Young Bucks to an even lesser degree than Cody.
No, masano.
Masano pa si...
Young Bucks are number 2 on the status quo. Cody is 3.
Yeah, Cody is 3. Okay. So now you established that. The Bullet Club doesn't have much going for them in any promotion. Na parang, they aren't the core anymore. They may move the most merch, but at the end of the day... Parang meh. Version, and this is version 3 at this rate, diba? Yeah. This is the third incarnation that they've run through. It doesn't feel the same, eh. It's not as cool. Mm. And they've lost so much luster.
NJPW tried to make something out of it in the G1.
In the
G1,
and...
They haven't continued it since.
Na parang they haven't followed through yet. Well, Destruction.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Destruction just started their tour for NJPW. But parang... Sayang lang eh. Na you could have let it die. You could have let the Bullet Club die an organic death. Last year.
When?
Exactly. No. After Wrestle Kingdom, when AJ left. Parang good.
Yeah.
Would have been a nice stop. Full stop.
Hmm.
Let everyone else continue on with their lives.
Hmm. But you know how it is, right? They had to keep milking the cow for what it's worth.
Yeah.
You know, the Bullet Club's, you said it yourself, it still moves a lot of merch. And with the Hot Topic deal, there's no way they're going to back out of it now. So, you know, think of all these guys who are making a lot of money, like Marty Scurll, who probably didn't have this much of a
following.
Yeah,
last
a
year.
Following.
This time last
exactly,
year, he was
exactly.
he was one of those. Oh, hey, he could have he could be one of those guys that get signed to NXT, but now
right, right.
Now he's like what Bullet Club top 10 guy.
I think the biggest takeaway pa rin here is the fact na these are guys or these are people who are still out to prove or are proving that you can make a sustainable living outside of WWE.
Oh yeah.
And that's something that Cody keeps repeating about himself and about the Bucks on Talk is Jericho on the episode that came out sometime last week. All right, so are we good with the Bullet Club invasion?
Yeah it failed.
Okay. All right.
It failed, but...
What also failed, I think, was how they tried to make every woman relevant in that Fatal 5-Way, and yet, because the status quo was retained, nothing was achieved.
Yeah. I don't know, I liked it.
It was a fun match.
It was a fun match, yes.
I'll give you that.
Props to
like,
Nia Jax.
Too. Yeah, but it's not like you really made everyone relevant, or it was just a great way of hiding the fact that we have nothing going on for these other girls, so let's just throw them all in. Look at Bayley.
Hmm.
Comes back 1 week, instantly gets a title match. Mm. Why? What did she do to deserve it?
Well, she
was a former champ. No, she won the...
She won the... No,
she the championship, right?
She won the... She won the match.
Okay.
Bambawi.
Alright, we put these dots together ourselves. And that reeks of the lazy storytelling that you wrote about in your No Mercy review.
Yes.
See, what I'm trying to get at is they should have explained this somehow, some way when Bayley returned.
Yeah.
How hard would it have been to trot Kurt Angle out and have him say, oh, I owe you a championship match. Mm-hmm. Here, you're number 5. How hard would that have been?
Yeah.
May quota ba ng appearance si Kurt Angle per episode?
Parang. It actually does feel like it, you know? Enzo Amore aside.
No, because Kurt appears a lot on Raw. You see him in so many backstage segments. How hard, again, would it have been to just have him talk to Bayley backstage and say, hey, kid, here's
By the
opportunity that you missed out on because you got injured.
Mm.
We owe you this one.
So Alexa Bliss is still champion. Right now, she's feuding with Sasha and Bayley, diba?
Ish.
You're Mickie James?
Mickie James.
Just because they left her out of the match.
Right.
Yeah. Her and Alicia Fox.
And Dana Brooke.
Oh yeah, Dana Brooke, but I forgot.
No, because I still think that she was like, is she still hurt? No.
Yeah,
like,
isn't she hurt?
No. She was grieving.
Oh yeah.
Her boyfriend died. No, her boyfriend died, and then she had that thing where she won an award.
Yeah.
That thing. She has a lot of outside of wrestling stuff.
Yeah, going on right now.
Yeah.
Can we take a minute to say just how hot Mickie James looked on Raw?
Sure.
Yeah. Not gonna deny that.
Okay. So
how old is she now?
She's 36, 37.
Okay.
Right?
No, 40. I was going to end at 40, not 40-something.
But she is, you know, she is a MILF. I think that we cannot deny.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Her makeup game, though, was so on point yesterday. Like, if you compare that to all of her previous appearances, like, if you go through the pictures through the years, and that outfit is just pretty good. She's used that top multiple times in the past.
Okay.
Two-syllable damn.
Yeah, because I did my fair share of Googling. I was like, where have I seen that before? So yeah, seeing Mickey and Alexa side by side trading verbal jabs, I just had to stop and look at how beautiful these women were, and I'd admire them because
good job,
it was just something I enjoyed watching on Raw this week. So whoever was styling them, doing their makeup, you guys deserve a raise. Right, next up from your No Mercy card, Roman Reigns defeated John Cena.
Before
we end up,
yep.
Isn't it sad? Going back real quick to the Raw Women's Championship, just because I thought of it, it's just sad that obviously nothing is going to happen, nothing is going to change just because everyone is waiting for Asuka to come. You know it's filler, the current Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James story. It's just a matter of time until TLC, right? TLC is the next one.
No.
TLC is the next Raw pay-per-view.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
That's when, tama. Because
that is when Asuka's shown up.
Yes. October.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
No. They announced it. That's when Asuka's showing up.
Go.
That's part of their spiel for the network. You get 3 pay-per-views in Asuka.
Yeah.
So, this feud isn't going to change things in the women's division.
I mean, on one hand, you can say that it's a good thing because they revere Asuka so much, or they hold her in such high regard na they're willing to put the division on a holding pattern just for her. On the other hand, this is Raw we're talking about, gentlemen. How badly are they gonna fuck Asuka? Si Bailey nga, na, this could be John Cena, the female version of John Cena, and they fucked her up within a year's time.
Less than.
It's easier to not fuck Asuka because she's just a female Goldberg at this point.
True. But for how much longer?
Yeah, for how much longer is the case?
And to whom will she lose?
Yeah.
Because think about it. What if Mandy Rose gets called up and they have her beat Asuka?
I don't know. I hope it's Bailey.
Shut it.
So Bailey is owed the win.
Bailey is owed the win because.
But will they reference that history again?
They should. They can and they will. Because to be honest, if there is one person who could use it, who deserves it, and who makes sense in storyline, Bailey. And yeah, that's long-term storytelling.
They just have to make her credible again. Yeah. She's just not believable to me anymore as a big deal. Like I see her, and I'm like, eh. Whatever.
I mean, even if they go to a no contest, the two of these girls, apparently both go down, ref counts to 10, respect at the end, I can deal with that. Apparently, it's you give Asuka the draw, but not the loss, it could be something.
Tagal pa yan though, like WrestleMania at the earliest. Or something.
Yeah.
Rumble.
Nah, I don't think it's a Rumble moment. All eyes are going to be on the men for the Rumble. You know that.
Yep.
Okay, back to the men then. Cena and Reigns. In a vacuum, the match was good.
Yes.
It was fun to watch. But there was a lot of...
circumstances.
No, there was a lot of meta storytelling going on.
Oh, yeah.
In that match.
I mean, the build-up alone was super meta.
So I was obviously on Team Cena here.
Oh, yeah.
Watching the match. And from the second AA onward, I was like, okay, Cena's going to win this. He could actually win this because he's pulling out all the stops.
Mm.
The Avalanche AA,
yeah.
Right? And you two consecutive AAs. I was like, okay, ito na yun, right? I'm pretty sure they're going to extend this such that Roman will get his win back probably by Survivor Series or by the December pay-per-view if there is one.
Mm.
But that's not what we're getting.
At all.
Nope. You know how Cena was proud of Roman after the match? That's because he learned his lesson well from Cena. Kicking out from all the shit and finishing with one finishing move.
Yep.
But really, yes, Cena didn't show up on Raw, right?
He did.
He did? Did he?
Wait, did
he? No. I didn't hear a peep about Cena.
Parang no, man.
And that's the thing. They rushed the whole thing, so... If you're gonna do this, if you're gonna rush it, all the more that you should have them do other things than just straight up wrestle a plain wrestling match. It was good, yes, but the absence was what I mean. You know, the
lack of,
yes, it's a whole lack of things that they should have done. Like, you know, start with a brawl, I guess, yeah. or more big spots, right? More than just the
straight up match.
More than just one Superman punch and one spear. Yeah. I mean, the joke about learning from Cena is all too real because that's what Cena used to do when he was younger.
Passing the torch, but though.
Yeah. So he passed the torch to Roman and let him be
Superman.
The vilified superstar he was once back then.
If you map out Cena's career, I think he stopped being. Just what you described, bro. I think he stopped that right around after the Nexus deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's when he started putting over guys like Punk, Daniel Bryan. Those two guys.
Those two guys. Yeah, yeah. We're good with that.
Actually.
We're good with that.
I'm not sure if you guys have heard Cena on the Edge and Christian podcast.
I have not. I started, but
it's pretty good. It's recommended listening, even for you guys who listen to us. You might want to listen to that afterward. Cena is a very engaging guest because he gives such an alternative point of view compared to even most wrestlers.
Yeah.
One, because he's a top guy.
Yeah.
And he's got that different lens from which he looks at the business, right?
Yes.
Second, he talks about how there was criticism levied towards them because of the timing of the Cena Reigns angle. Pang WrestleMania nga dapat.
And I didn't mind that as much.
Yeah.
He argues na he's 40 and he doesn't know how much longer he can compete at this level. So if you're still gonna wait and hold it off, kind of like the Undertaker logic.
Actually, I was gonna go there. I was gonna go there. And parang saying na
kailan pa? Kailan mo pa gagawin? You might as well do it now. So that's the logic. Na parang you make the business now and you make something happen and you cash in on that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be WrestleMania just because you think it's WrestleMania. Yeah, that might be true. But if you have a chance to boost business now, despite it not being WrestleMania season, say ano pang hintayin mo? Because people already complain that the product isn't as interesting now until we get to WrestleMania. So why do we wait until Mania?
Yeah.
The thing that goes against WWE here is what I'm assuming is Cena's schedule.
Sure.
So that could probably be the most logical reason behind him disappearing right after No Mercy again. And then him just having this one-off with Reigns.
Because we all know naman that Cena is going,
busy guy.
Not just a busy guy. He's going to be very busy in the next 6 months. He's got Transformers to shoot. He's got He's got the TV show. He's got Ferdinand the Bull to promote. Yeah. That's a lot already.
He's become Hollywood, for sure.
He's actually on a path that is more mainstream in his, second year of being all-out Hollywood part-timer?
More than The Rock. And he has The Rock to thank for that.
Yep.
But to me, is if you're gonna do that, kung alam mo palang one-off ka, diba? Kung alam mo palang yun lang kaya niyang gawin, so why don't you go all out? Maybe the bad thing is that to them, that was their idea of going all out. But obviously,
they could do more.
Yeah. And the more, I suppose, would lie in what Reigns could have done. He didn't have to just be straight up,
himself.
Not just himself, but I wish there was more to what he did. I wish there was something different, something new, something
a new wrinkle, if you will,
unpredictable. Yeah, that he brought as a facet to his character.
Or yung tipong he doesn't know what it takes to put John Cena away because that's John Cena. So he digs deep, and finds something within the recesses of his fortitude or something.
Maybe Reigns still isn't as road worn or as well traveled as Cena, because Cena, to his credit, he was still able to change up his game late in his career.
He became indie Cena.
Yeah, he became indie Cena, and he deliberately took it upon himself to wrestle with guys like Owens, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins,
Neville.
Yeah, and challenged himself to do new things. And to me, parang you would think that, especially after running with guys like The Shield, Roman Reigns would have done something else.
Yeah. Na parang you're at that point that Roman hasn't added much to his moveset.
Yeah. It's slightly disappointing because you have the entire career of Cena to learn from. Parang it was already there for you as a blueprint. Parang you didn't go there and even decide to take some lessons from it.
Yeah, kumbaga Cena made the mistakes so Roman wouldn't have to
make them.
Oh. And yet Roman is still making the same mistakes, which is why it's still so hard to get behind the guy. And now he's being put in this feud with The Miz over the IC title, and they're clearly rushing towards a Shield reunion for TLC.
Let's get to that later.
It's not just Roman pala making the mistakes. It's also WWE making the mistakes. Everyone around Roman, his entire village support system, is making the mistakes that Cena should have already told him not to make.
True.
Just because of how embattled the last 10 years of his career were.
Okay. So, this, I have to ask the question. How long has Roman been solo? 3 years? 4 years?
Yeah, over 3 years.
Over 3 years.
Yep.
Given how long Cena was really top guy, diba, how long did it take for him to go from being...
By 2005, he was already world champion. So that was 3 years into his main roster.
Role. Okay, so if we're just making parallels,
organic and building in. That was pretty organic.
That was pretty organic for Cena. Okay, if you make the parallels between the two, Cena was still improving at that point, diba? Na parang hindi siya nag-plateau.
No, he regressed because he was much better before being a main eventer. Yeah, before being a main eventer.
Kaya nga nagkaroon ng five moves of doom. Na ano, diba? Stereotype. Towards John Cena matches.
Yeah.
No, once he hits that shit, you're done. It's
he
over.
Literally regressed because he thought that that's all he had to do.
Kind of like how see Hogan, all he did was the leg drop
and then that's it.
Strikes. Or see Austin, but he would say that his moves are really just strikes, the Lutez press, and the stunner.
Tama. Well, Roman hasn't regressed yet. he's plateaued, but has progressed.
Yeah,
he has
plateaued, yeah.
Which is a good sign?
Would you say, though, that it's because times have changed, which is why we demand more of these top guys? Because iba yung expectation of fans in the Hogan era, in the Attitude era, to...
Not necessarily.
No, the problem with... Yeah, times have changed, yes. That's part of it, but that's also because Cena was written in such a way that he was hard to believe at his worst.
At Five Moves of Doom, panic button, turn him heel right now.
No, super...
That level?
No,
Cena.
You know, have the heel beat him up so much, and then all of a sudden, all he does is flick a switch, and then... hits one AA and wins.
Hmm.
Actually, nakaburatsa now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Some of his best stuff in his earlier days, I would consider 2007 still early. Like, or 06. Was that Unforgiven TLC match?
Yay! Okay.
I would point to that as an example of Cena really overcoming adversity.
Yeah.
Because it was a match type that he was unfamiliar with, and he was up against Edge in Edge's hometown, and Edge had all the expertise, so Edge really had such an advantage over John Cena. So when Cena beat Edge there, I wasn't too mad, because as someone who watched the narrative unfold before me through the match, I could get behind the idea that Cena overcame the adversity. But it's that that underdog story which yun din yung mahirap bilhin from the John Cena character over the years up until he became Indie Cena.
Yeah.
He was positioned as such an underdog when he clearly was not the underdog.
Yeah.
And I think Roman Reigns is going through the same motions.
Mm.
They try to paint him as such an underdog. Think mean beat down from the Mr. Raj.
Mas mukhang underdog siya ngayon because he hasn't had the same success. Like, he hasn't been as dominating a champion as Cena was. So I can kind of buy it because he's been made to look more like a chump more than people will admit.
True.
Mm. So there's that. But yeah, it's not like he's super weak. Maybe he's just super unlucky. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, he is still the blue chipper.
Mm. He is the blue chipper.
You look at him, he's still the blue chipper that people keep saying he's the next big thing and all that.
He's the next big thing, but he's been the next big thing for, what, 3 years now?
Let's talk about the next big thing from O2 then. Because, you know, we spent a good deal of time talking about Cena and Reigns. Let's talk about Brock retaining and how we're probably not going to see him again until next year.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, Braun has nothing to do. Like, Seth has to challenge Braun for what? For nothing.
Oh, for nothing. I think this is a bad move.
Yeah.
Kasi, for one, all it took was the F5. Like, the F5 is...
Isa pa yun, yeah.
Isa pa yun.
Parang yung kay Roman Reigns, na all it took was the Superman punch and the spear. Cena's done. And now, with Braun, who beat the holy hell out of Brock Lesnar.
Who has a size advantage.
Who
of
is...
Over, of almost 100 pounds, mind you.
100 pounds?
Yes, almost 100 pounds.
Almost... Okay, I buy it.
Brock's like 286. Braun is 385. So that's almost 100 pounds in the difference. And you can see it physically, like when you...
Oh,
the eye test proves that. Right?
But I always thought that Braun was just more...
Not 100.
Like, what the fuck does Braun have to do to beat Brock Lesnar? Throw another executive chair at
him? Yes! More, I want that. I want that in the game, though.
I thought it was such a bad move, lang, to have Brock retain, just because now the main event scene on Raw is in such a state of flux that you literally don't know what's going on last every week. And while that can be a good thing, it's also a bad thing because it belies the fact that wala kang top champion.
Not just wala kang top champion. Your top championship is
missing
in action, and unless they write this really well and don't rehash, when was that? 2 years ago? 2013?
Yeah,
2014. 2014's angle where, you know, Paul Heyman shows up every so often and is like, aha, by the way, he's still in Minnesota. Type shit. Then,
it would be a good time, I think, to have Paul look for a new charge at this point. But I thought the best scenario was to have, although he didn't need it, to have Paul switch sides.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen at No Mercy.
Yeah. Mm.
That would have been fun to see. Yeah. So that didn't happen.
Yep. Nope.
That would have been consequential. Kasi.
Yeah.
Because the Paul Heyman character hasn't been consequential in a while.
That's true.
Does Lesnar still need Paul Heyman?
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does. You'd still be surprised that he does. But at the end of the day, kasi, Paul Heyman isn't... I mean, yes, his mic work is still great. But he's not... It doesn't feel special anymore, I don't know. The magic of the Paul Heyman Brock Lesnar partnership doesn't work in this version of WWE.
No, because they've already Paul Heyman worked because they were reestablishing Brock back then.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we've already been, what, 5 years in the Brock?
Into this version of Brock?
Yeah. He doesn't need it anymore. It's not special, but that doesn't mean there's no magic. Just because it's been so long with Paul and Brock.
It's really just diminishing returns.
True. There it is.
So going back to the main problem of Brock retaining, you have no Universal Champion until 2018. So probably the Royal Rumble at the earliest. Because they maxed out his dates now for 2017.
Unless they cough up more money.
Which they
probably won't.
Kasi hindi kontrate.
Dapat talo na lang siya.
Oh.
Yeah, they should have just have Braun win it. Because I think people would have been ready. Or people were ready.
I was ready. I was ready. Everyone
in this room was ready.
Casuals were ready. IWC Smarks were ready.
We already outlined the ideal scenario for if they still want Brock versus Reigns at WrestleMania.
Have him lose to Roman.
Then get it back to Rumble.
Right. Sayang. They really dropped the ball right there. Right, so that pretty much covers our review of No Mercy and how things stand on Raw right now. SmackDown this week was okay in the sense that it still pushed storylines forward towards Hell in a Cell, but it's not like there was anything game-changing that happened unlike last week or the week before that.
Yeah.
So, really quickly, we'll just tell you that, yeah, it's official. The Tag Team Championship on SmackDown will be contested inside the Hell in a Cell. It's only the third time a tag team match will happen inside the cell. The most recent one having taken place 7 years ago.
Yep.
That was DX versus The Legacy.
The Legacy. Good times.
Yep. So we're going to have two Hell in a Cell matches, and next week we'll be previewing Hell in a Cell on this podcast.
Predictions?
Before we end, picks of the week, gentlemen.
I pick the after Raw segment where Enzo gets the living shit beaten out of him just because catharsis. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. It'll put a smile on your face.
Raw Tag Team Championship match. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Crap. That
was good.
That was supposed to be my pick.
Was good.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Fine, take it. I will change it. You can have that. I'm going to change it to the Intercontinental Championship match just because it was the best Jason Jordan match we've seen on Raw. Yes.
I thought you were going to go for the 205 match between Tazawa and
No, it wasn't. It was alright, but it wasn't. There were other things better this week.
Yeah. So it's not like Raw and No Mercy were skippable, but you know, there were just more things to get excited about, and there were some things that were not any sign at the end when you realize that that's the reality again. Right, next week we'll try to see if we can have a guest or if we have updates on that big thing that we teased at the top of the show.
Big thing!
If you've made it this far, thank you so much. And do leave a review either in the comment section on the Facebook page that's at DSGP Podcast or on Twitter, also at DSGP Podcast. Or better yet, do it on iTunes. Give our ratings a quick boost. So subscribe, tell your friends, evaluate, and give us a 5-star rating and all that good stuff.
And speaking of evaluations, there's a survey on the group.
Yeah, there's actually a survey on smartkenry.ph, which you might want to check out. So
if you were into some controversy.
Right. So it's a survey on local wrestling, local pro wrestling, and how your perception is towards any and all of the three promotions that we know of so far. So it was prepared by MDJ of Smart Henry. So he's probably going to come out with a best for business article based on the stats that he'll pull from that. So try to take it seriously and try not to talk out of the side of your neck.
Because, you know, it is serious. Na parang,
no, it's even in that, Camus.
I was going to say, because
that was the punchline. That was the shadow punchline, Camus.
The shadow punching punchline?
Hey. Anyway, follow us on Twitter at DSGB Podcast, at Rose War, at K-Man Camus, and at _ Stan C. And on behalf of Roman Rand and Raf Camus, my name is Stan C, and that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the SGP Podcast. We're out of here.
Peace. Camus, sit down.
Be humble. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious.